Chapter 2, The Biblical Basis of Mobilization, Objectives. Upon completion of this chapter, you will be able to write the key verse from memory, explain how mobilization is divinely ordained, identify descriptive biblical terms implying mobilization, identify a biblical command for mobilization of believers, explain how mobilization was practiced in the New Testament church, list Old Testament examples of mobilization, summarize what you learned about mobilization from the life of Gideon. Key verse, Acts 8:4. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Introduction. Throughout the biblical record, God worked his plan and accomplished his purposes through people who were mobilized for action. Scriptures reveal that mobilization is divinely ordained and implied by descriptive terms in the biblical text. It is illustrated in the Old Testament and in the New Testament church, and it is central to the command given to believers to fulfill the Great Commission. In this lesson, you will study the biblical basis of mobilization. You will also learn the central truth of biblical mobilization. It is the fact that such mobilization is not based on the recruitment of vast physical or financial resources. God does mighty things through just a few people who are mobilized to action and answer his call. Mobilization is divinely ordained. Read Ephesians 4, 11-16. This passage reveals that the reason the Lord gave special leadership gifts to the church were for the purpose of equipping or mobilizing people for the work of the ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are all to be mobilizers. They are the special ministry gifts ordained by God to equip, mobilize believers for the work of the ministry. The fact that the Holy Spirit indwells and endows each believer with spiritual gifts also confirms that mobilization of the entire body of Christ is divinely ordained. See Romans 12, 3-8 and 1 Corinthians 12, 1-31. Mobilization is implied by descriptive terms. The descriptive terms used for the church also imply mobilization. Romans 12, 3-8 and 1 Corinthians 12, 1-31 speak of the church functioning as a body, with each believer mobilized to fulfill his unique purpose. The priesthood of all believers described in Hebrews 10, 19-22 and 1 Peter 2:9 and Revelation 1:6 implies the mobilization of the entire church for the work of the kingdom. Mobilization is central to biblical commands. Mobilization is central to biblical commands given to believers. For example, the scriptures clearly declare that believers are created to do good works. See Ephesians 2:10, Titus 2:14, Titus 3:8, James 2:17, and 1 Peter 2:12. If we are to accomplish these, we must be mobilized to act. Mobilization is also central to the fulfillment of the Great Commission to spread the gospel to the nations of the world. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Go, preach, teach, baptize. These are all action words. A mobilized force of believers is necessary to fulfill these commands. Mobilization is practiced in the New Testament. The New Testament church was a mobilized group of people. They were ministering daily in the temple and in every house, Acts 5:42. They were praising and worshiping God, and the Lord was increasing their number daily, Acts 2:47. Even persecution did not dampen their enthusiasm. Persecution resulted in the scattering of their membership. But in Acts 8:4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. The first church formed missions teams and sent them to other nations, Acts 13, 1-3. They ministered from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the then known world. They literally turned the world upside down for God, Acts 17:10. Mobilization is illustrated in the Old Testament. Mobilization is also illustrated in the Old Testament. Read about how God mobilized his people for the building of the tabernacle, Exodus 35, 4-29. The conquest of the Promised Land, Joshua 1:10-15. The building of the first temple, 1 Kings 5:13-18, 1 Chronicles 29:1-9. The building of the second temple, Ezra 1:5 and 6, Ezra 3:8-13, Haggai 1:2-15. Rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, Nehemiah 2:17 and Nehemiah 6:15. You can also study the record of Old Testament battles where God mobilized his people to subdue the power of the enemy. One exciting example is the story of Gideon. The Gideon factor. One of the great biblical principles of mobilization is that God accomplishes great things through just a few people who are mobilized for his purposes. We will call this the Gideon factor of mobilization because it is illustrated by the story of a man named Gideon. Read Judges 6, 11-24. When the angel appeared to Gideon, the man was not talking about fighting or penetrating the land. He was doing just the opposite. He was hiding from the enemy who had come into the land after Israel had sown their seed. The enemy was stealing the harvest, and Gideon was attempting to reap a limited harvest in secrecy and fear. This is a picture of much of the reaping activity going on in the world today. People are attempting to reap a spiritual harvest for God while cowering in fear, in hiding from the enemy. As long as we assume this defensive position, our threshing out of the grain will be limited. As Israel, we will be greatly impoverished. When the angel spoke to Gideon, addressing him as a mighty man of valor, we can imagine that Gideon looked around and said to himself, "I don't see any mighty warriors." He did not really recognize that the Lord was with him. All Gideon saw was the overwhelming situation which surrounded him. He asked, "If the Lord be with us, then why is all this befallen us? Where are all his miracles which our fathers told us of?" When you look at the conditions of your nation and the world around you, you may question, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened?" It is discouraging. It is overwhelming. Where is God's miracle-working power? It is in this context of fear and doubt that God still calls Gideons today. The truth of the Gideon factor is that God calls weak people to do mighty things. The angel told Gideon, "Go in this thy might. Have not I sent thee?" The only motivation that will empower us to meet the difficult challenges of our generation is the promise that the Lord is with us. This promise of his presence is given to those who are mobilized to action and respond to his call to go. Matthew 28:19-20. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Gideon questioned the angel, "How can I do this? My clan is the weakest, and I am the least in my family." Moses felt the same way. So did Jeremiah and even the Apostle Paul. You may also feel that way. You may feel limited by your social standing, finances, educational background, or abilities. But God works through weak people who are mobilized to his call. 1 Corinthians 1, 26-29. "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. The particular ability with which God gifted Gideon was not only his skill in commanding an army, it was the ability of motivating others to join him in the task. We know he was successful in this because 32,000 men responded to his call to arms. But after God encouraged Gideon in his recruiting efforts, he demonstrated that he works just as well with a few as with many. God eliminated 22,000 of the potential fighters. Anyone who was fearful was allowed to go home. God then proceeded to sift out 9,700 more men. Those who were not concerned and alert, who were not watchful while drinking, were also sent home. This left just 300 men, 1% of the original volunteers. Imagine how Gideon must have felt facing an army of 135,000 men. The odds were 450-1 in favor of the Midianites. But God accomplished great things through these few men. They won the battle with the enemy. They reclaimed the territory rightfully theirs. They were able to reap their harvest. When the strong confederacy of the Midianites, Amalekites, and others gathered together against God's people, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. The Hebrew word translated "came upon" literally means clothed. God's power was given to Gideon at that point and time of need, not before and not after. You will find the same is true in your life. The mobilizing power of God does not come upon you until you heed his call to go. The camp of the invading enemy is described as settled in the valley as thick as locusts. Their camels were like the sand on the seashore. It was a vast multitude. Gideon surprised the enemy with trumpet blasts and waving torches. It was probably the biggest camel stampede in history. Gideon's victory involved a good strategy and carefully coordinated, organized action. But it was more than that. It was an effort ordained and mobilized by the power of God. You may be a weak and fearful person working with a weak and fearful people who are few in number. But God can give you his power just as he did Gideon. Are you low on men, finances, and material resources? Rejoice! God delights to do great things through limited natural means, and when he does, he will get the glory. The story of Gideon demonstrates that a handful of warriors mobilized by the power of God, organized around a common vision and strategy, can succeed against overwhelming odds.